Go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12 and verse 1. Very familiar passage of scripture. Amen. Wherefore seeing, do you see it? The first thing, you got to see it. Wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. You know, you'll never be a witness till you see a witness. You'll never be. I mean, I've got to see somebody living this. Somebody, I have a grandpa, I have a daddy, I have other people that's gone on. And I got this cloud of witnesses around me. It makes my race so much easier when someone has already witnessed the race, already been there. So you need to see somebody else live this thing. Let us, those that are looking and those that are still alive, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run, let us run, let us run, let us run with patience. Wow, how do you run with patience? That sounds like you're going to move slow. But he said, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking, looking, looking. See, I see all the cloud of witnesses all around us. They're dead and gone, and they're a witness. But I'm looking to the beginning, the author and the finisher of my faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured something known as the cross, despising the shame of it, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I want to preach tonight for a little while, picking up the pace. Picking up the pace. Lord, I ask you tonight to anoint me. Lord, your word is already anointed. If I'll just deliver it the way you gave it to me, and they'll hear it the way you gave it to me, then they will benefit as I have from listening to you. We ask you to be with us tonight. We're thankful, Lord, for all you've done, all you're doing, and all that you will do. In Jesus' name we pray. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. The first thing I'd like to do is, you know, today is the 4th of July, and I'd like to thank God for the freedom that I have in this country. Amen. I thank God for that quite often. But more important than the freedom that I have in this country is the freedom I have in my soul, the freedom I have in my spirit. And that freedom, all freedom, believe it or not, comes from God. Freedom comes from God. It's where it comes from. And so when the Lord looked at the earth, it was void. It was in bondage. The earth was in bondage to darkness. And wherever there's darkness, there's emptiness. And it was void and empty. And the Lord wanted to set the world free. He wanted to set free what really could, the world could be. But because of the darkness that was upon it, the world could never be what it actually could be. And some of you will never be all that you can be because of the darkness that's upon you. But if you let God set you free, and I want to talk to you about that tonight, of the darkness of the past, then he can light up the future by saying, let there be light. It is your choice tonight whether you choose to abide in light or darkness. That is your choice. You're free to make that choice. Tonight, you're free to do whatever you want to do in this country, pretty much. And I've said before, you're free to jump, I'm going to jump off this building. I can't stop you. I may tie you down for a while, but sooner or later, you'll be free. And you'll get up there and jump off this building if you want to jump off this building. But what I want to tell you you're not free of is the consequences. You're not free of the consequences when you hit the ground. And so you are free to do whatever you want to. Let me tell you, you can eat whatever you want to eat. But you're not free of the consequences of what you eat. That won't get many amens, but it's true anyway. Because I have to watch myself. I love ice cream. Oh, my goodness, I love ice cream. But I'm not free of the consequences. I can't just say, oh, thank you, Jesus, for this ice cream. Lord, I know you're going to take care of all them calories, and I'm not going to get overweight with this, and I'm just going to eat a double portion today. It ain't going to work. I'm not free of the consequences of the things I do, but I'm free. So we got to be careful we don't abuse the freedom wherein Christ has made us free. And when God made Adam and Eve, he made them free. He put them inside of a garden. He said, eat of every tree, how? Freely. Freely. No charge. Pull that. No charge. No charge. Oh, no, no charge. Free. Everybody likes free. If the store's giving away something for free, People will be lined up. If you got to pay a nickel for it, you'll cut the crowd in half. But free stuff, especially in the society we live in today, if it ain't free, that's how they get you hooked on the advertisements and the internet and all that. You don't even pay for that internet. You may pay for the cable or whatever, but you're not paying for YouTube. You're not paying for Google. You're not paying for Facebook. You're not paying for any of those things. Why? It's free, right? Well, not quite. Not quite. Because if they weren't making money some other way, they wouldn't be giving you that service. And so God put them in the Garden of Eden, and they were free. Free to roam, free to eat. They didn't even have to work, no man to till the garden. They didn't have to do anything. And he said, the only thing you can't do is eat of this one tree. Because in the day you eat of it, you won't be free anymore. Right now, you're free of death, you're free of disease, you're free of sorrow, you're free of sin, you're free of everything. But in the day you eat of that, there are consequences to your freedom. If you eat of that, the day you eat it, you start dying. And so we find that God breathed into Adam and made him a living soul. But when he ate of that tree, his soul began to die. The consequences of freedom was abused. Amen. So God gave him life. And tonight he has given you life. He's given you not just life, abundant life. Abundant life, a life hereafter, and a life to enjoy in this life. It is God's good pleasure you enjoy this life. That's his good pleasure. He said that a thief comes but what? Kill, steal, destroy. I hope you locked your doors before you left. You got your cars locked. We got alarms. We lock our window. You're in bondage. We are in bondage to all of this. I got to thinking that, you know, one of the greatest things to help the economy are thieves. Think about it. Thieves help the economy more than anything. You're buying all kinds of protection. You buy insurance. All kinds of stuff. A thief causes you to spend half of your paycheck, just about. Think about all the stuff you're protecting. God never wanted us to be in bondage. But because men abuse freedom, he said, okay, I got 10 commandments, just 10. And he had commandments, statutes, and laws. And he said, if a man would abide by these, he shall live. But it was conditioned upon abiding by that. So we were back into the bondage wherein God made Adam and Eve free. And so we're brought back into that. So freedom is such a wonderful thing. But I have discovered that you really never find out what's in someone's heart until you make them free. Until you make someone completely free, where they don't have to answer to anybody, no rules, no regulations, and watch what they do. And very few people will not abuse something else with their freedom. They use their freedom as an occasion, as we find in the New Testament, to sin. The grace of God is free, frees you. That's what frees us from sin, is his grace and his mercy. But then Paul writes to the church at Rome, he says, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid that we should do such a thing and abuse the grace of God. I heard a very shattering statistic for our country, and it's embarrassing almost to say it, especially on the 4th of July, for the land of the free and the home of the brave. I didn't check it out, but I heard it on the news. You know, that's a reliable source in case you didn't know. I heard on the news that there are more people incarcerated in the United States of America than all the countries put together. That's what it said. All the other countries put together, and we're the land of the what? That's why. I said, that's why. Because we give so much freedom, it gets abused. And now taxpayers are paying all kinds of money to keep people incarcerated. Used to, when you didn't want to go to prison because you got a bunk and a bed and a shared a commode that was just a hole. Now you get 3 meals a day. It better be hot. Where's my meal? You know, they got rights. And there's some probably there wrongly. I understand that. But in other countries, the penalties are so hard, they keep getting harder and harder before long. I don't know if they do it anymore, but I heard this. It scares me. I don't want to go to Arabia and steal anything. I heard they cut your arm off. Well, that keep me from stealing, I guarantee you. But here, no. So they show you the severity of the penalty to make you behave. But it shocked me that in this land where we're so free, we have so many people that we have to put in prison to contain them from doing violence. The Bible says where much is given, much is required. And it happens in the church as well. Even Paul, when the Holy Ghost was given, he went to, I think it's church at Corinth, he went to the church and he had to calm them down. I mean, all these free gifts from God. One, he said, you say you're a prophet. You say you speak in tongues. You say you're an interpreter. You say I got a psalm. You say I got a song. You say I got a praise report. You say I got a prayer. And he said, Lord. And they were all wanting to talk. They were all wanting to, felt free to do it. He said, women, shut up. That's what he said. Women, stay silent. And it wasn't that he was really condemning the women. It's that we got somebody, you know, needs to be the head of the thing. So he said, if you learn anything, learn it at home from your husband. That's what he said. It wasn't that. It was just there's too many voices. Because everybody felt free. And they were free. But they were abusing the freedom. And so what come later is that my grandpa, you know, sawed logs and preached tent revival and one churches are still here today. And then latter rain came through. Everybody had a ministry. Everybody had a tongue. Everybody had, we'd bind it and find it and shoot it and loot it and all that kind of stuff. That was another movement. All these movements come through where you're free. What's your ministry? Oh, my ministry is this. You know, everyone was just free in the spirit. And yet there was more going on that I won't mention. But they had all these ministries. They were abusing the gifts, even in Paul's day. How much more are they abused today? Paul said this to the Galatian church. He said, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. Stand fast. Whoa. Stand fast in the liberty wherein Christ has made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't go backwards. And say, well, I'm free, so now I can do this. On God's grace and God's mercy. There's a couple ways to abuse things. Number one is to overuse it. Right? Overuse it. You'll abuse it if you overuse it. And that's what happened there. And the other way is to use something for what it's not meant to be. As I've told you before, I've ruined many a good handle of a screwdriver trying to make a hammer out of it. Couldn't find a hammer, so I just tap it in. Next time I put my hands on that, it reminded me when I felt that burr that I had tried to drive a nail with that screwdriver, and it was not meant to do that. Christ paid the price for our liberty with his blood. He gave his life to give us freedom. God help us that we do not abuse the one that made us free. That we would trample on the blood of Christ. And that he died for us to give us all these things that we enjoy, and yet we abuse them, overuse the grace of God. I'm going to do it anyway. I know he's going to forgive me. That's not how this works. Freedom is a choice. And the children of Israel stayed in Egypt bondage for approximately 400 years. They had taskmasters, they had slaves, but you know what else they had? Food and water. Oh, they worked hard, they sweat, they complain, they moan and grain, but they had food and water. And so finally Joshua leads them. This is the closing chapter of Joshua. He finally leads them to the place now where they can settle down into a land that God had prepared for them by their enemies. And he said, I've now got you to the place where to the land you did not labor for, to the cities you did not build. There you'll dwell in. You now have olive vineyards and you have olive yards that you didn't plant, but you're going to eat thereof. He said, now therefore fear the Lord in that he brought you here at no cost. He brought you here. He sent the hornets out and you didn't even have to fight. And serve him in sincerity and in truth. That is spirit and truth. You know what sincerity is? It's spirit. Your spirit's into something. You're sincere about it. He said, serve him in sincerity and truth and put away gods which were your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt and serve the Lord. Now, we'll pick this up at the 15th verse. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, well, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Whether it be the gods of your fathers, serve that we on the other side of the flood. So back over in Egypt, there were gods. Serve them if that's what you want to do. Or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. In other words, we took over their houses. You know, when they took over their houses and their land, the Lord told them to destroy everything, including the pictures. You can't have a picture of your old girlfriend and your wife be happy. It's not going to happen. You want a new life and a new wife? Well, you're headed for a new wife if you keep. You've got to, if you want to start over new, Paul said, all things are old, everything is brand new. So he said, you got the gods over there and you got the gods where you live now. You can serve them if you want to. But as for me and for my household, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm not serving the gods over there and I'm not serving the gods here. I'm serving the Lord. He's everywhere. He was over there. He's over here. He'll be wherever I go. That's the one I'm going to serve. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord. Oh my, no. I would never do that to serve other gods. But we know they did. We know, I know that they did. And somehow they got in, wanted to get entangled again with what they came out of. And the Lord was displeased with them because they complained about the garlic and the they wanted the garlic and the onions and the meat pots and all of that from the days gone by. And they forgot the taskmasters. They forgot the bondage. They forgot the whipping. They forgot all of those things. Christ has anointed. He was anointed to set what free? The captives free. But let me tell you, along with freedom, there is still some responsibility. There's responsibility. Liberty does not mean you're independent of everything. Amen. Amen. When the children of Israel were liberated, they came out of Egypt bondage. And the Bible says, then sang they the songs of Zion as they watched their enemies sink in the Red Sea. They watched it sink. Never going to see you anymore. Miriam got the tambourine. They were all dancing and shouting. They're not going to see you anymore. Na, 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 boo, boo. And they turned around and said, I'm thirsty. Yeah. You thirsty? I'm thirsty. Kind of hungry, too. What are we going to eat? Where's the water around here? Oh, but don't worry about that. We're free. We're free. See, along with liberty comes you getting it now. Along with liberty comes you got to provide now. I can't tell how many people say, I won't be self-employed. Okay, go ahead. See what self-employed requires of you. It's a whole different ballgame. Trust me. Yeah. And so they got mad at God. God set them free and they get mad at him because where's the water? Where's the manna? And so their liberty wasn't so free after all to them. And a lot of times you take someone that's been incarcerated and you let them out, okay, and you let them out, and now they're free. No one wants to hire them. It's not their fault now. They want to start a new life over, and they're sorry for what they did. They paid the price, and they get out. No, but. The children of Israel wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years and went nowhere. What was set before them was the land of promise, a land that flowed with milk and honey. That's a free land. Flowed with milk and honey. They were going to go and live in houses they didn't build, free. Going to eat from trees they never planted, free. They were going to drink water from wells they didn't dig, free. That's what was set before them, was freedom. But they couldn't get past the past. And look at what was set before them. Instead, they kept looking back. And God got them out of Egypt in one day. They kept their clothes on that night. And he got them out in one day. But he couldn't get Egypt out of them. It took 40 years for them to die off. But I want to show you what happened. Brother Whitman, come help me tonight. Come help me. Brother Jake, grab Brother Jake on your way up here. Come help. Okay. These bushes need cutting out here. I've been talking to Brother Charlie. I need some help out here to cut these bushes. And I was thinking about after church tonight, I'd hold the light and y'all would do it. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know my mic was on. Okay, here's what I want to do. It's been so wet. Now, one day this week, I'm trailing, making an announcement. One day this week, men, I want to try to get together with Brother Charlie if I can and help him. This is the rain's kind of kept him from mowing the grass and trimming the bushes. And maybe one evening with a bunch of us get together, we can knock it out just like that. Amen, Brother Baggett. Count on me. I know I can. I'm just picking at you. All right, here's what I want to do. I'm your future. Okay? That's your past. I'm your future, and that's your past. Now, don't ever let your past catch up to you. Okay? But you're after what? Your future, right? That's what I thought. But don't ever let the past catch up with you. Don't ever let the past catch up with you. Don't ever let the past, because if you let the past catch up with you, be careful. He cheats too. That's what you did in the past. You cheated. I know. But okay, good job. Now, here's my point. Too many people are running from their past and not after their future.
That's right.
They're in the race, but their race is don't let the past catch up with them. But if you'll ever chase your future, you will lose the past. Ah, there's a cheater. Thank you, gentlemen. If you want to win this race, you run with patience the race that is set before you, not what was behind you. Too many people are in the race, but they're running from the past instead of chasing the future. Whew. We need to leave the past in the past. Whew. Y'all all right, or is it just me? Okay. Too much ice cream. And I'm preaching tonight, it's time to pick up the pace. As they come tonight, it's time to pick up the pace. Run for what is before you, and don't worry about what is behind you. Quit looking back. The Bible says, he that looketh back, not fit for the kingdom of God. keep running for what is set before you. Christ finished the cross for the joy that was before him. What was on the other side, despising the shame and the suffering of the cross, he said, I see the joy that is set before me. That's what I'm running for. The prize, Paul said, of the high calling. Not all the whippings and the things that's happened in my past. That's not what I'm not going to let that catch up with me. And you can't either. You've got to run for the future as you stand tonight. When you look back, you see nothing but sadness, sorrow, what happened to you as a child. And we can keep saying, I'm this way because of what happened to me when I'm a child. Yes, you can. And you know what? You're right. But that's not your future. That's not your future. Your future's not in that. Your future is in Christ. For wherein Christ hath made us free, he that the Son hath set free is free indeed. He's free in all ways. He's free from his past. He's free from things that happened in the past. Let me tell you something. I'm dressed for my future. If you see me, or I see you, packing a tent, got it all folded up, bringing you a fan, got the hatchback open, truck bed down, and you got a tent and some flashlights and some mosquito dope, I know where you're headed. Where are you headed? Camping. I'm going camping. If I stop to get gas and you're there and you're pumping gas and someone in buying ice and picking a few crickets and I'm going to say, y'all going flying today? Oh, no, no, no. I'm going fishing. When I see people praying, I see people fasting. And I see people saying, I got a praise report. And I see people coming to church. I know where you're headed. I know where you're headed. Amen. But I know where you're going by what you're preparing for. Amen. And so today, he said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. We've got to be prepared to meet him. When the bridegroom came, the cry went out, and the only ones that got in was the ones that was prepared to meet him. I need to pick up the pace. The reason I used Whitman, son, let me tell you something. You live for God young, and you run with all you got, and you outrun me. What I mean is you can go further than I did. You can go further. Every generation should outrun their daddy. Sure. Because daddy gave me more than he had when he was my age. The Bible says that a wise man will leave his children's children an inheritance. It ain't money necessarily. It's wisdom and things like that. Live for God while you're young, and that past won't be bothering you so much. And you can run for your future. Let's sing a song tonight. Pick up the pace.